read one poem and then we'll have a little more music. This is a poem called 11 o'clock at night. I'll read this to you. Are you ready to play again soon? All right. He wants a break. All right, we'll do this and then we'll have a stretch. How's that? This is a prose poem. There's a kind of a movement from metered poetry to free verse, which Whitman led. And then a further step from that is prose poetry, prose poem, in which you don't bother breaking the lines. If you're not going to pay any attention to the length, why not just forget them? Baudelaire thought it would be a major form in the 20th century. And I've written some, and I like them very much. I'll read you one of those. Certain things can be handled in prose poems that it's difficult to handle in poems with lines. Don't know why that is. Prose poems are more like a lake. And lines, poems with lines are more like rivers. Things get carried down, you have to watch out. So this is a poem in which I wanted to write something that wasn't so heroic. You know, the lyric poem with the title is what dominates in our culture for the last 300 years. Then in that poem, you prove how sensitive you are. And of course, you're always more sensitive than the audience, so you win. And as James Hillman said, our greatest danger among men is a Hercules complex, in which we have to be heroes and everything in life is an obstacle to overcome. I'm not sensitive enough. I must go to San Francisco. I'm not neurotic enough. I must go to New York. So I wanted to think of a poem that wouldn't be so heroic. It's called 11 o'clock at night. I lie alone in my bed. Cooking and stories are over at last, and some peace comes. And what did I do today? I wrote down some thoughts on sacrifice that other people had, but I couldn't relate them to my own life. I brought my daughter to the bus on the way to Minneapolis for a haircut and waited 20 minutes with her in the somnolent hotel lobby. I wanted the mail to bring some praise for my ego to eat and was disappointed. I added up my bank balance and found only $65, for I need over $1,000 to pay the bills for this month alone. So this is how my life is passing before the grave? The walnut of my brain glows. I feel it irradiate the skull. I'm aware of the consciousness I have, and I mourn the consciousness I do not have. And stubborn things lie and stand around me. The walls, a bookcase with its few books, the footboard of my bed, my shoes that lie up on the blanket nervously, as if they were animals sitting at the dinner table, and my stomach with its curved demand. I see the bedside lamp and the thumb of my right hand, and the pen that my fingers hold so trustingly. There is no way to escape from these. Sometimes in poems I have escaped, I sit for a long time, hours, and at last I see a pinhole in the top of the pumpkin, and I slip out the pumpkin, gone. And the genie expands and is gone. No one can get him back in the bottle again. He's hovering over a car cemetery somewhere. Now, more and more, I long for what I cannot escape from. The sun shines on the side of the house across the street. Eternity's near, but it's not here. My shoes, my thumbs, my stomach remain inside the room. And for that, there's no solution. Consciousness comes so slowly. We spend half our life asleep. We eat and talk asleep. And for that, there is no solution. Since Pythagoras died, the world has gone down a certain path, and I cannot change that. Someone not in my family invented the microscope. And then Western will, Western eyes, grew the intense will to pierce down through its darkening tunnel. Air itself is willing without pay to lift the 707's wing. And for that, there is no solution. Pistons and valves have appeared in the world. Pistons and valves usher the gas vapor in and out of its theater box 20 times a second. And for that, there is no solution. Something besides my will loves the woman I love. I love my children, though I did not know them before they came. I change every day. For the winter dark of late December, there is no solution. I'm going to give you a few more poems, maybe 6, 7, and then we'll do one together. Someone has asked me to do a one for Halloween. We have a few Halloweeners here. I think I'll begin with three poems, which I called romages, and it's a word I found myself in French music, and I made up a form, so I thought I may as well make up the name for it also, and it's a form of 85 syllables, and each of the poems has a major, one of the sounds it emphasizes in several smaller ones. Drums, our first summer, aren't we walking now, still on our first walk? We walked out with hands held high, wide kneed. Gravely we met the ground. We went to it. Now the ground knows when it is time to fall. Ground calls to the man too far up, and to the mist rising from the rabbit's foot. What choice do we have but to go down? How can I be close to you if I'm not sad? What choice do we have but to go down? How can I be close to you if I'm not sad? The clam tumbles in the surf, and the amber holds the secret desire that the bee saved before his room grew silent. The lonely man reads late at night by his lamb. What is it that we want? Some ancient man, half bear and half human, knows what we want. The more we talk to him, the swifter we tumble down. I do it here once more. I do it without the dulcimer this time. How, what choice do we have but to go down? How can I be close to you if I'm not sad? The clam tumbles in the surf, and amber holds the secret desires the bee knew before his room grew silent. The lonely man reads alone late at night. What is it that we want? Some ancient man, half bear and half human, knows what we want. The more he talks to us, the swifter we tumble down. The little poem's about going down. Did you get the idea? Thank you. Here's a little one. You might like it. These all concentrate on the sound, and I'll give you an and then I'll give you an ah. This is a little one. It's a little concerto in the key of I'll do it without and then with the instrument. This has a kind of an interior instrument, so I don't know what to do about that. Concerto in the key of Early in the morning, the hermit wakes, hearing the roots of the fir tree stir beneath his floor. Someone is there. That strength buried in earth carries up the summer world. When a man loves a woman, he nourishes her. Dancers strew the lawn with the light of their feet. And when a woman loves the earth, she nourishes it. And earth nourishes what no one can see. Early in the morning, the hermit wakes, hearing the roots of the fir tree stir beneath his floor. Someone is there. That strength buried in earth carries up the summer world. When a man loves a woman, he nourishes her. Dancers strew the lawn with the light of their feet. And when a woman loves the earth, she nourishes it, and earth nourishes what no one can see. Can you hear the sounds coming out? I'll give you another one in ah. Ah is one of the most wonderful sounds in the whole world. Let's do one. Ah, come on. Ah. 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 Once more. Ah. Drop your jaws. Ah. we have it in God, but actually the Mohammedans have it twice in Allah. That's the reason they're so insane. So I did a little one in Allah. I did some in Allah, and Allah is wonderful to work in. And so here's one little, it isn't exactly a Khomeini poem, but still. Horses go on eating the Apostle Island ferns, also sheep and goats, also the big-nostriled moose who knocks down the common bushes in his longing for earthly pleasure. I don't know if you've ever heard a male moose approaching a female in the woods. You can hear it 5 miles away. Horses go on eating the Apostle Island ferns, also sheep and goats, also the big-nostriled moose who knocks down the common bushes in his longing for earthly pleasure. The moose's great cock floats in the lily pads. That image calms us. His nose calms us. Slowly, obstinately, we retrieve the pleasures the fathers angry with the Gnostics threw away. It's a reference to the church fathers, maniacs like Tertullian. And he didn't believe in fucking even in marriage. He really says, cut it out. Stop it. Don't do it. These are the church fathers. All right, I'll give it to you again. I read this poem really first. I was reading it at Eureka, Illinois, which is Reagan's college. It was very weird. And naturally, there wasn't a black person in town. But they wanted me to sleep in his bed, but I managed to escape that one. But I read at the college, and I said to them, how can you stand the shame of it? But they thought he was a celebrity, and I didn't know. So I read this poem. I decided to read a poem. So I read this poem, and there was a little silence afterwards. And then a wonderful woman's voice from the center said, do you have any more moose poems? Horses go on eating the Apostle Island ferns, also sheep and goats, also the big-nostriled moose who knocks down the common bushes in his longing for earthly pleasure. The moose's great cock floats in the lily pad. That image calms us. His nose calms us. Slowly, obstinately, we retrieve the pleasure the father's angry and the Gnostics threw away. Well, as long as I'll do two or three love poems then, as long as we got started on that. After trailing their bony legs, the herons go on dancing in their crystal house far up near the clouds. I need you in sand touching your hand, I weep. In another world, I am clear and transparent. Just so you don't feel sorry for me, that last line. After trailing their bony legs, the herons dance in their crystal house, far up near the clouds. I need you in sand. Touching your hand, I weep. In another world, I am clear and transparent. These are some poems from my wife whom I will see tomorrow. When I'm alone, I think of your secret places, the warm mine and the sword's home, the open ocean is the whale's mansion, but the deep sand is where the turtle lays her world. Do it once more. Four lines seems about right length, really. When I am alone, I think of your secret places. The warm mind, the sword's home. The open ocean is the whale's mansion. But the deep sand is where the turtle lays her world. Here's a little one I did. I have it from a shell. Let's see if I can remember it. Once I loved you only a few minutes a day. Now it is smoke rising, the mushroom left by the birch, the horse's forefoot, the way the minnow curls silver as he turns, carrying his world with him. It was fun. Once I loved you only a few minutes a day. Now it is smoke rising, the mushroom left by the birch, the horse's forefoot, the way the minnow turns silver as he turns, carrying his world with him. Here's a little one. I worked on three, 4 years. You work on them 3, 4 years and you sell them for $15. I sent this one to the Atlantic the other day and they pay quite a bit, maybe 30. You know, you never know. In this, I've been doing some work with the Provençal poets and they played something almost like this. The Provençal poets of the 12th century, and when I got this instrument, I was able to play their music, and I'll play you a tiny little tune which was made up by Geoffrey Roudel in 1120. It's been preserved since 1120, and the poets at that time, when music and poetry was completely connected, you had two jobs. Your first one was to write the tune, and then you wrote the poem, and the tune tried to come from the heart, and that carried you into the heart so you could stay there. You know what I mean? And with us, we lost the tune, and most of us start in the head and never get down to the heart at all. Well, here's the tune that Geoffrey Roudel wrote in 1120. Notice how it comes down at the end? When I memorize it and I think of it, my tendency is to play it this way at the end. But it isn't that way. It doesn't go that way. Probably means that they understood about the plague and things don't always turn out right, huh? They don't always turn out right. And they were brainy enough to know that. They go, boom. All right, I'll give you a poem which begins with a line from the Provençal poet. The rest of the poem is mine. In the month of May, when all leaves open, I see when I walk how well all things lean on each other, how the bees work, the fish make their living the first day, monarchs fly high, and then I see that I love you with what in me is unfinished. I love you with what has not found its shape, with what has no legs or arms or head, what has not found its body. And why shouldn't the miraculous caught on this earth visit the old man alone in his hut? And why shouldn't Gabriel, who loves honey, be fed with our own radishes and walnuts? And how many lovers there are, tough ones, whose holy bodies are not yet born. Along the road, I see so many places I would like us to spend the night. Have you ever done that? Been driving along the road and you say, oh, wow, let's spend a night there. How about over there? All right, once enough for that one?
No.
Once more? I just found this on the bouzouki. I love that one. If you don't know anything about music, you see, and you find something like that, it's marvelous. I'm finding a big tub of water in the desert. In the month of May, when all leaves open, I see how well, when I walk, all things lean on each other. How the bees work, the fish make their living the first day. Monarchs fly high, and then I understand that I love you with what in me is unfinished. I love you with what has not found its shape, with what has no head, no arm, no legs, it has not found its body? And why shouldn't the miraculous caught on this earth visit the old man alone in his hut? And why shouldn't Gabriel, who loves honey, be fed with our own radishes and walnuts? And how many lovers there are, tough ones, whose holy bodies are not yet born. Along the road, I see so many places I would like us to spend the night. Give me one more. Give me another one. Here's a little one I was reading outdoors, and Andrew came by, and I was reading in my book, and then I noticed something reached up and touched the book. It's called an erection, I guess. But it doesn't seem the right word. So I thought it's a nice little story, and I'll tell this story. So I wrote this little poem. I sat reading alone, outdoors, a book in my lap. You walked by to fetch something, passed, and then were gone. When I returned to reading, not all of me returned. My stalk, a rosy man, reached on its own and touched the book. It must be that words have fur. It must be that all things talk. For I am perhaps no longer living and breathing in the world alone. And it's true. The bee's foot knows the anther and its dwarves. As the castle of women knows of the rider lost outside in the trees. I do it once more. The scene at the end comes out of the wonderful book that Jung's wife, Emma, did about the Grail legend. And one of the great scenes in the Grail legend, and no one understands what it means at all, is that somewhere out there, there's a castle. It has 50 windows in it, and there's a woman looking out of each. And out in the woods, there's some guy riding around on a horse. I don't understand it at all. But I wanted to put it into a poem for about 5 years. I finally got it into this one. Actually, I don't tell stories much in poems. Too dumb. And I learned how to tell a story a little bit from Yeats. Yeats is the most wonderful storyteller in poems. All right, here's a little poem. I sat reading alone, outdoors, a book in my lap. You walked by to fetch something, passed, and then were gone. But when I returned to reading, not all of me returned. My stalk, a rosy man, reached on its own and touched the book. It must be that words have fur. It must be that all things talk. Or I am perhaps no longer living and breathing in the world alone. And it's true, the bee's foot knows the anther and its dwarf. As the castle of women knows of the rider lost outside in the trees. Well, I think I'll do one more of these love poems, and then I'll do a couple of Kabir poems, and then we'll do one Kabir together. Does that feel all right for you? Here's a little poem. I did. It's sort of about... It's sort of like, not making love all night, but just sort of fooling around. The Viking ship sails into the full harbor. I had to use my Norwegian heritage. The Viking ship sails into the full harbor, and the body meets its wife far out at sea. Its lamp remains lit the whole moisty night. Water pours down, faint flute note in the sound of the water. Described as intense love here, which heats up the body. And you don't begin with human beings, that's too difficult. You begin with grass, mice, some wonderful bhakti poems of Irish monks, about 1100, in which he falls in love with a mouse that's in his cell. He writes the most wonderful poem to this mouse. And then you can try trees after that. Human beings later. So this is the opposite of what's called the via negativa, in which you wipe out everything. So Kabir is considered the greatest religious poet in India, except possibly for Mirabai, a woman of about the same time. So I'll just give you a few poems as I remember them. The clay jug? Ah, we'll do that one later. Thank you. I'd love that one, too. All right, a couple of Kabir poems. I talk to my inner lover, and I say, why such rush? You know there's some sort of spirit that loves birds and animals and the plants. Perhaps the same one who gave a radiance to you in your mother's womb. Do you think it's likely that you would be orphaned now? Actually, what happened was that you turned away yourself and decided to go into the dark alone. And now you are tangled up in others and have forgotten what you once knew. And that is why everything you do has some weird failure in it. Feel it? I do it once more? I talk to my inner lover. Everyone has an inner lover and an outer lover. We'll move to the inner lover now instead of the outer one, shall we? Why not? I talk to my inner lover and I say, why such rush? We know there's some sort of spirit that loves birds and animals and the ants. Perhaps the same one who gave a radiance to you in your mother's womb. Is it logical that you'd be walking around entirely orphaned now? The truth is, you decided to turn away yourself and go into the... The truth is, I decided to turn away myself and go into the dark alone. And now I am tangled up in others and have forgotten what I once knew. And that is why everything I do has some weird failure in it. I had to give you another one of his. He's very tough, this one. Very tough. And He doesn't like the whole gooey guru scene that there is around the United States. Rajneesh destroying Oregon. You know, the fact is that the Rajneesh people, all of these guru types, they never have any bad feelings. All of their people are just blissful and wonderful. So everybody in Oregon is mad now. So Kabir talks about that. He had gurus himself, but they were not this type. And he calls these people who are with Rajneesh for a while, and then they become Sufis, and then they become Christians, and then they get Ralphed. And he calls these people spiritual. He calls them spiritual athletes. I give you one of his poems. The spiritual athlete often changes the color of his clothes, but his mind remains gray and loveless. Or he sits inside the shrine room all day so that God has to go out and praise the rocks. or he drills a hole in his ear and develops a beard. It becomes long and matted. People mistake him for a goat. Or he goes out into wilderness areas, strangles his impulses, becomes neither male nor female. Or he puts his clothes in an orange vat, reads the Bhagavad Gita, and becomes a terrific talker. Kabir says, actually, you're going in a hearse to the country of death, bound hand and foot. Feel his toughness? Another one of his. Asia is exporting their gurus over here. Yeah, all right. Japan sends us transistors, India sends us gurus. All right, here's another one of his. This is Kabir. I read this in San Francisco one night to about 700 people, and there was a profound silence immediately after. He says, friend, please tell me what I can do about this mud world that I keep spinning out of myself. You know that I sold my expensive suit and I bought a robe. But I noticed it was made of very well-woven North Indian cloth. So I sold that robe and I got some burlap, but I noticed that I throw it elegantly over my left shoulder. And I finally gave up being a sexual elephant. And now I'm angry a lot. And I worked hard at dissolving my anger, and now I'm greedy all day. And I worked hard at dissolving my greed, and now I'm proud of myself. When the mind wants to separate itself from the world, it still holds on to one thing. Kabir says, listen, my friend, there are very few that find the path. Can I do it once more? Yeah. It's so wonderful. He says, please tell me what I can do about this mud world that I keep spinning out of myself. The word used in Hindu is maya, this world that doesn't quite exist. Please tell me what I can do about this mud world I keep spinning out of myself. You know that I sold all my expensive suits and I bought a robe, but I noticed the cloth was very well woven, North Indian cloth. So I sold that cloth and I bought some burlap, but I noticed that I throw it elegantly over my left shoulder. And I finally gave up being a sexual maniac, and now I'm angry a lot. And I finally worked out my anger, and now I'm greedy all day. And I worked hard and I dissolved my greed, and now I'm proud of myself. When the mind wants to separate itself from the world, it always holds on to one thing. Kabir says, listen, my friend, there are very few that find the path. Wonderful. Now, that's the real voice of India, actually. All right, to give you one more of his, and then we'll do one together. All right? All right. This one. This will be good for you. You'll love this one. So in India, you know, they say that we discovered the unconscious about 80 years ago. Freud did. And the Indians are very proud of it. I think that's wonderful. Finally found the unconscious.
Oh,
wonderful. Only took 1,800 years. Wonderful. But it's as if the Indians have discovered a third thing, which we know but have not visualized. And you'll hear it mentioned in here. Between the conscious and the unconscious, a third thing has put up a swing. And all earth creatures, even the supernova, sway between these two trees of the conscious and the unconscious, and it never winds down. Animals, insects by the million, also human beings, also the wheeling sun and moon, ages go by and it goes on. Everything is swinging, heaven, earth, water, fire, and the secret one slowly growing a body. Kabir saw that for 15 seconds, and it made him a servant for life. I'll do that on this one, and then you'll notice a difference when we turn to the genuine Indian music. I'll do it for this one, just for you. You can hear it again. I don't know what to do. I haven't tried it on this instrument. I don't know what to do. Between the conscious and the unconscious, a third thing has put up a swing. And all earth creatures, even the supernovas, sway between these two trees. And it never winds down. Angels, animals, insects by the million, also human beings, also the wheeling sun and moon, ages go by and it goes on. Everything is swinging. Heaven, earth, water, fire. Also the secret one, slowly growing a body. Saw that for 15 seconds, and it made him a servant for life. Let's do one, huh? Between the conscience, inside this clay jug, there are canyons and pine mountains. And and the maker of canyons and pine mountains. All seven oceans are inside. And hundreds of millions of stars. The acid that tests gold is here. Also, the one who judges jewels. Also, the source of all water. If you want the truth, if you want the truth, if you want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. Kabir says, the God whom I love is inside. Kabir says, if you want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. The God whom I love is inside. Kumi poems about four lines long. Those of you who have babysitters, go home. We won't be here long, just a few minutes. Here's one. By Kabir's master, probably, Rumi, born in 1207, master poet of the Muhammad. There's two holy books, the Quran and Rumi's book. These are little translations done by Coleman Barth. Is, are women spiritual or are they sexual? Because only two possibilities. They wonder about you. Are you spiritual or sexual? People wonder about Solomon and all his wives. But in the body of the world, they say there's a soul, and you are that. And we have ways within each other that will never be said by anyone. Thank you.
day like every other day, we wake up empty and scared. Don't open the door of your study and begin reading. Today, like every other day, we wake up empty and scared. Don't open the door of your study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love be what we do. Don't open the door of your study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty we love, be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Hundreds of ways to kneel